Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We want to welcome you to Second Mile Church this morning, or whenever you're watching this. These are our the beginning of our online services. Some of you will be watching on Facebook. Some of you will be watching on our website. We're doing podcast and video online, and most of our Sunday morning services will begin at 9:30 if you're on Facebook, but my media techs tell me that we'll be able to download some of these services on YouTube and then broadcast them on our website. And so you'll be able to see just about what's going on through our virtual online services. These are uncertain days. These are times that are different than any other that I've experienced in my years here. And so we're thinking out of the box, and we're doing things a little bit differently. I hope you enjoyed the worship time with Andrew and his worship team, and I'm so grateful for our media techs and our media team that's making all of this possible. And so we want to welcome all of you to our Sunday morning service, and hope you'll get a great blessing. And it has been my prayer that the Spirit of God might fall fresh upon this service. And every time we get together, Wednesday night, Ellen and Thomas and I are going to be getting together and probably doing something on Facebook Live with our How to Study Your Bible and have a Q&A time. So we're looking forward to that. But we're just so grateful for our guests and our visitors. You don't know who I am. I'm the old broken down pastor here at Second Mile Church, and we're glad that you're online with us and you're in this worship gathering. And so we thank God for the opportunity to just preach the gospel and to sing about the good news. And I want to begin by praying for us, if I could do that. Father, we are so grateful for just who you are and the things that you're doing. This virus did not take you by surprise at all. You are not in heaven wringing your hands, "Oh, what am I going to do with Second Mile Church?" Lord, you've got a plan and a purpose in all things, and we just need to trust you and follow you. If we really become the church, instead of just having the mindset of coming to church, if we'll just be the church during these days, Jesus will be glorified, the saints of God will be edified, and old Satan, he'll be horrified. And so I do pray that these would be the greatest days for the church here in Montgomery County and all across the globe, God. We pray for healing. We pray for your ministry to take place amongst our people, specifically here right now in this service, and I ask, God, that you would speak loudly to us through your word. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and your love. In Jesus' sweet name we pray, amen. We are going to be in Mark chapter 14 this morning. I've been going through a sermon series called Last Things with our people, and we're looking at events and different things that happened to the Lord Jesus in his last week of his life and his ministry before the crucifixion and the resurrection. And so we find ourselves at a garden this morning, specifically the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember Jesus had been to and observed the Passover meal with his disciples, and there he had instituted what we now call the Lord's Supper. And he had enjoyed a last meal with his followers. And so now he is, the scripture says that they sung a hymn and went out of the upper room and out to the city limits of Jerusalem. And scripture says they sung a hymn, probably Psalm 115 through 118, something like that. And then they come down to this Kidron Valley and they cross the Kidron Brook, which was now crimson red from the blood of thousands of sacrificial lambs that had been sacrificed. And And then they start heading up the Mount of Olives. And at the base, the foot of the Mount of Olives, there was a garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's still there today. And it was a grove, really, of huge olive trees. And some of those trees, they claim, still today, were there during the time of Christ. And so in the center of these olive trees was an olive press. The name Gethsemane means oil press. And so the olives would be harvested and gathered and placed in this press and crushed so that olive oil would be the final product. And so that's kind of the background. That's where Jesus shows up to pray with his disciples. And let me read verse 32 as we start in here on Mark 14. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. As you come to the scriptures here in Mark chapter 14, there is a mystery surrounding this garden, surrounding Gethsemane. And when you begin to come to grips and begin to have an understanding of some of the things that were taking place here in the garden, it's hard to comprehend. Our human minds have trouble comprehending all that Jesus went through. But you could say that when he entered into the Garden of Gethsemane, he entered into a press of affliction and suffering. Jesus suffered greatly even before he got to the cross. And so Gethsemane is a mysterious place. From time to time, Jesus would go to this garden to pray in order to get away from the crowds, and the disciples were familiar with this place. But it was far different on this night. I mean, this place of prayer now would become a place of pain. Jesus went into this Garden of Olive Trees to pray, but this was something far different from what the disciples had ever experienced and what the Lord Jesus had really ever experienced. He begins this mystery. As he entered into this place, it was a mysterious place where he would begin to encounter suffering and affliction. But not only is this a mysterious place, it's a mysterious prayer. Now, the disciples had heard Jesus pray many times. And all of his prayers that they had heard were always filled with, you know, direction and guidance. They were filled with confidence and victory. His prayers were filled with calm assurance, you know, so much so that the scripture tells us that the disciples knew where the power came. And so they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." But this is not one of those kinds of prayers here. This is a prayer that's laced with pain in his voice. I mean, I think as Jesus began to pray in this context of these scriptures, you can almost feel the pain in his voice. And I believe this prayer filled the heavens with grief. Many times Jesus knelt when he prayed, but here the scripture says he fell to his knees and then eventually was on his face before God. And until we get to heaven, I don't believe we'll fully understand all that took place in this mysterious prayer. Hebrews 5:7 says, "He lifted up, he offered up cries and tears." This is not some quiet place of solitude. This is a place of pain. His heart and voice were filled with anguish and pain. You know what that says to me? In these days that we're living in, it's okay to tell God how you feel. It's all right because God already knows what we're going through. This COVID-19 didn't surprise God. He's not up in heaven just, "Oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to take care of my people?" No, God's got a plan and God's got a purpose. But you know, in order for us to hear from heaven, we got to be real with God. Just tell him about your doubts and your fears. Just cry out to him. And in my Bible, every time, whether it's one person, whether it's a family, whether it's a nation, whether it's a group of people, every time they really cry out to God with passion and concern, God always hears their prayer and comes running. Isn't that what we need Jesus to do today, brothers and sisters, that God would hear our cries? And so we need to move, though, now from the mystery of Gethsemane to the agony of Gethsemane. Look at verse 33 again. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and greatly distressed. Verse 34, then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." Now watch this, listen to this. "Even to death. Stay here and watch." And he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Now, Jesus left the upper room with 12 disciples. Well, actually, he left with 11 disciples because Judas had ran off and went to look for that mob of enemies that would eventually arrest Jesus. We'll look at that next week. But then he brings 11 to the garden, and he tells 8 of them to stay there. And then he takes Peter, James, and John into the center of the garden with him. And the phrase that Mark uses here, "exceedingly sorrowful," means that Jesus began to be terrified or horrified at an approaching object. He saw something coming his way down his path that literally, what we might say, scared him to death. You could use that phrase. The word sorrowful means to be encircled or surrounded by sorrow. Jesus was in a whirlwind of sorrow and terror. Luke 22:44 describes Jesus as being in agony. Being in agony. Oh, the agony of Gethsemane. Now, Jesus experienced tremendous sorrow, tremendous agony, grief stricken, terrified, horror, all of these negative things. And he experienced, first of all, what we might call physical agony. As he prayed, the Bible says he sweat great drops of blood. Now, there is a condition called hematidrosis, which it's rare, it's very rare, but a person can get under such extreme stress and pressure that the capillaries under the skin burst and then blood begins to flow through the sweat glands. That's exactly what happened to Jesus here as he began to pray. I mean, this is his human nature, this side of him. He was the God-man, but his human nature was not looking forward to everything that the cross entailed and that his death would encounter. But and by the way, if he had not received some heavenly help, according to Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel, he may have died right there in the garden. That's the kind of stress and pressure that he's under. And so there's physical agony, tremendous struggle. But he also experienced emotional agony. Now, do you see the phrase there, deeply distressed? Well, that carries the idea of being isolated and being alone. It carries the idea of being separated from other people. You know, when you encounter something really tough, something hard to get through, who do you want with you? Well, you want the people that are nearest and dearest to your heart. You want your family and your friends with you. Well, the Bible says that Jesus began with 12, and then that number dropped to 11, and then it dropped to 8, and then Peter, James, and John 3. And verse 50 tells us that all the disciples ran off and left him, deserted him in his greatest hour of need. Jesus agonized, not only physically, but emotionally. He went to the cross all by himself. The Bible says even the Father, Sarah read those verses from Isaiah 53, even the Father walked away and turned his back on the Lord during this time. Jesus died all alone. There was emotional. And by the way, when you read about Jesus in the gospel accounts, this guy loved to have a good time. He liked to go to the parties. He liked to hang out with people. But here, as he's paying the price for you and me, he did this all by himself, all alone. You ever experienced any of that in your life? Loneliness and separation, isolation. How suggestive is that to us during these days? Emotional agony. But then there's spiritual agony as well. Now you got to remember, Jesus is the God-man, the one who had never sinned. And he's praying here. Look at verse 36. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. His humanity, he's praying, Lord, all things are possible with you. You can do anything, Father, and I really don't want to go through this. Let this cup pass from me. Get me out of this. Now, in the Bible, I think I mentioned this last week, but in the Bible, whenever you see this phrase, drinking from the cup, that is a symbolic way of saying that the experience that someone is going through is going to be experienced fully, immersed, totally immersed in whatever this experience is. And so as Jesus is praying and he's sweating great drops of blood, and emotionally he knows that he's going to have to go through this all by himself, and he sees, what is it that he sees in this cup? When Jesus looked symbolically into this experience of drinking the cup that he would be totally immersed in, he saw all the sins of the world that he was about to pay for. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Every lie that's ever been told, every vile, filthy word that's ever been uttered, every choicey piece of gossip that's crawled out of our mouths, every greedy, selfish attitude that's ever been expressed, every sexually immoral act that's ever been permitted, every pornographic thought that's ever passed through our minds, every molestation, every abusive situation, all the putrid, polluted sins of humanity were in that cup. And Jesus knew what sin does to people, and he had never sinned. And so he says, Father, let this cup pass from me. Do you sense the agony that's in his heart and in his spirit? Jesus knows what sin does to us. Oh, the agony of the garden. I tell our folks from time to time, those of you that are listening for the first time, I tell our folks I'll never leave us bleeding. And I want to talk to you in the last couple of minutes about victory in Gethsemane. The victory that was in Gethsemane. Look at verse 36 again. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you still sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he had returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer him. And then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. I want to submit to you this morning that in the Garden of Gethsemane, we learn the secret of victory in the Christian life. In this text, in Scripture, we learn how to have victory in life, in good times and in bad times. And the first, you know, the very essence of sin is basically this. It's the assertion of our own will. What I want, what I need, what I want to do, my desires, my my wishes, my wants, all that. And then we do whatever we want to do. You remember what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven? He said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I, me, me, me. Simon Peter said, even if all the rest of them deny you, I will never deny you. And so the first wonderful secret to victory is just simply saying no to my will, to my wants, my wishes, my desires. Just saying no to that. And when you get to that point and that place in your life, guess what? You're on the road toward victory. And that's what Jesus prays. He said, Father, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will. In other words, Jesus said, it's not about me. This is about you. And I am willing to turn from my wishes, my wants, my desires, my way of thinking. And when we get to that point where we can say, Father, this is all about you. This isn't about me. This isn't about my hopes and my aspirations and my desires and my wants. This is about you. That's the secret to heading down the path of victory. But there's a double blessing here. The second part of this is not only saying no to our will, but saying yes to His will. To saying yes to His will. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Jesus was in a battle. He was in a struggle. And He's saying in His humanity, let this cup pass from me. But then He says in His divinity, I'll drink it. His purity was saying, take it away from me. But His love is saying, I'll drink every drop. When Jesus said, not my will, but thy will, just in your mind's eye, can you see that angry, do you hear that angry mob coming? The clanking of the swords, the reflection of the lit torches. And when He stood up and told Peter, James, and John, arise, let us be going, He won the victory in the garden. He was on His way to the cross, but that was God's will for His life. I don't know what's going on in your life this week. I don't know what's happening to you and your family. But God, can I tell you, has a plan for your life. He has a purpose just for you and just for His family. When Jesus prayed in the garden, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, then He was able to receive God's best, not only for His life, but for your life and for mine. And if you'll get to the point where you'll just pray, Father, I don't know what's best right now. I don't know exactly what to do, but you do, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll live the way you want me to live. If you'll make that your prayer this morning, you'll have the most meaningful life, the best time in your life that you've ever, ever had. And by the way, when Jesus looked into that cup and He drank it, He did it just for you. Father, we want to say thank you for your grace and your mercy. We want to say thank you for the example that Jesus set for us, that victory comes in Gethsemane when we're willing to let our kingdom go so that your kingdom might come. Lord, during this time of response, oh, I pray, God, I don't know what's going on in the lives of all these people that are listening to this broadcast. I don't know what's happening to everyone. Some people are struggling emotionally. Some people are really having a hard time physically. And some of us are battling this old thing spiritually. We don't have a Lord. We don't have a Savior. But, oh, God, you're able to speak to our hearts. You're able to do what you need to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are going to have a time of response. Andrew's going to lead us in this song. And I want you just to ask you right there in your home, wherever you're hearing this, just bow your heart and your head to the Lord, and you respond in whatever way that God's telling you to respond. If your response there in your home, in your chair, was one of needing spiritual help, I would love to walk with you through the scriptures. And if you'll just get a hold of me, maybe you have a decision that you need to make for Christ, maybe it be salvation or baptism or a church home, or maybe you just need prayer. You're more than willing to call me. My phone number is 931-332-6288. You can email me. My email address is number2nd2milechurch@gmail.com, secondmilechurch@gmail.com. Or you can call our church phone number, 931-218-3384. Or you can go to our website and even click on, there's a place there for prayer requests, and you need for us to pray for you and your family. Please go to our website and take care of that. Then there's our administrative assistant there is TarynLee123@yahoo.com. And then again, there's the church phone number. You respond to us and we will respond to you. I promise you we'll do that, and we'll lift up your needs to the Lord. Thank you for being with us today and worshiping with us and visiting with us. And we're going to continue on. I want to encourage you to stay right here. At 11 o'clock, you're going to get to hear one of the finest Bible teachers in all of Montgomery County. Billy Walker, our discipleship leader, is going to be teaching. He's teaching through the book of Acts, and you'll want to stay on board for that. Several of you have called me. We do need you to stay faithful in your giving. There's several ways you can give. You can go to our website again, www.2ndmilechurch.com, and click on the giving button. It's at the top, and just follow the instructions, and you can give online. Or if you want to, you can mail a check. I don't think you ought to mail cash in, but if you want to mail us a check, mail that to Second Mile Church, Post Office Box 3512, Clarksville, Tennessee 37043. Or you can do what one of our sweet lady, one of our saints called me. I talked to her last night, and she said, would you come by here and pick up the check that I've got for the church? And so if you'll call me, we'll come by and pick up your check and get it to the bank where it needs to be. The expenses and the ministries continue to go on. We're about helping people and being the hands and feet of Jesus here in our community as well as around the world. So thank you for being with us today. Again, you've got all that contact information. Please contact us, 931-332-6288, secondmilechurch@gmail.com. There's our website. Please contact. There's our church phone number on the screen behind me. You do what you need to do, and we'll get with you and help you any way we can. God bless you. I love you, and Jesus does too. Have a great day.